Grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. You get what you work for. There is, of course, a fair amount of truth to that. Think of your own life, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you spend your energies. You get what you work for. If your goal in life is money, if your goal in life is riches and possessions, there is at least some reasonable chance that you will be successful at that goal. Our Lord put Adam into the garden in order to work the garden and to keep it. That was where God placed Adam, to tend, to take care of the land and the place that God had established for him. And this was good. Work is good. Remember that. It's not always easy. But when sin entered into the world, yours and mine, something happened. Something tragic that skewed and messed up everything that we do, how we work, why we work, where we work, what we do. St. Paul put it this way: when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. You get what you work for. If you work for the things of this world, if that is as high as your eye can possibly gaze, is right here. If that's as far as it goes, then you lead a tragic life. For that is not how God created you. What is the fruit of your life? What is the purpose of your life? St. Paul reminds us that when we were once sinners, when we lived under the law, that was all we could see. That was as far as it got. That was as good as it gets. And so often we forget that. We continue to live that way, as if the money we make, as if the time we have, as if the things that we do are really the pinnacle of our lives. Paul reminds us of the ultimate ending to that sort of a life. For the wages of sin is death. You get what you work for. If what you work for are the things of this world, is your own satisfaction, your own happiness, your own joy, your own, if everything is focused on you, then you will get what you have worked for you have worked for death. But that is not the way God created you and me. God did not create you and me in order to live simply for ourselves, in order to simply be slaves of no one, but to be slaves to the possessions that we have, slaves ultimately to the devil who seeks to deceive us and mislead us. But rather, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a very different perspective on your life and mine. You were once ashamed of the fruit of the things that you worked for. But now, because you are in Christ, because you are baptized, because you are his child, now the things of this life have a different meaning. Now we look back to Adam, back in the garden so many years ago. We look and see, yes, this is a part of God's purpose for me, is to work where God has placed me, to keep, to maintain, to take care of the gifts that God has given me. But I do this not as the end, not as kind of my purpose in life. I do it rather because God has freed me. He has freed me to live. He has forgiven me all my sins. He has given me eternal life. And because my gaze is not simply straight down, looking at what I have and what I do and how much more I can get, but rather my gaze is turned up to receive what God has given to me, because that is now my perspective that frees me to actually live, to serve, to be Christ to my neighbor, to love, to show mercy, knowing that I don't have to worry about tomorrow. To demonstrate this, our Lord fed the 4,000 and more. They had gone out into the wilderness with very little planning. This was not a good trip for them. They had gone out in the wilderness to hear our Lord, to hear the word of comfort and forgiveness that he had come to give. For 3 days, they had listened to his preaching and his word. Be careful when you pray for longer sermons. You might get them. He had been preaching to them for this long, and they had nothing to eat. This was a poorly planned trip. And then our Lord says, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. That is how it looks sometimes, isn't it? A life given in service and love to our neighbor, not worrying about tomorrow, first of all, does not come naturally to us. Second of all, our temptation is always to quit looking to what God will give to me, but rather to move my gaze back down, to worry, to wonder, to guess, to fret, to be anxious about what God will give. But what we know, because the scriptures give it to us so clearly, is that God's gaze is always on you. I have compassion on them, Jesus said. That's God's perspective towards you. That is his work. You get what you work for, remember. And God's work is to forgive your sins, to care for you in life and death, to give you eternal life in him forever. That is God's work, and he is really, really good at it. So good, in fact, that he worked even to death so that you might live forever. And because God does his work, God does this work of taking care of you, of forgiving your sins and drawing you to eternal life. Because God does that work, that means that you are free to receive what he gives and to act in love and mercy toward your neighbor. It is kind of an amazing perspective. It is kind of counterintuitive for us. We don't trust God easily. And yet there it is. God's great and mighty promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will take care of you. I will forgive you. I will feed you. I will lead you to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I will be your shepherd forever. And so, because God says this, because he does this in his son, Jesus Christ, because he does all of this, this means that you do not have to look. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder what is going to come tomorrow. God is there. Be free to live as children of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.